Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and we are doing our Survivor 45 cast boot list prediction today. So if you are new somehow, you've never done this with us before, exciting times are ahead for you. We have a link in our bio here, or in our whatever it is. What is it? The description of the video. That's what it's actually called. We have a link there. Click that, fill out that form, and you'll be able to participate in our game. The winner gets a buff. We do give our buffs. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. My bank account says so. And you have a chance to win one of the season 45 buffs. So exciting times for the person who wins. We're joined by Peridium today, who is learning the rules of the bootless game, just like the newbies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're making bootless predictions. I do it every season, and I'm usually incredibly wrong, and it's based off of very little information.
Sounds like you'll fit. You'll fit right in with how ours goes. How are you feeling about the cast? How are you feeling about the announcement when we're less than a week away?
It's weird. Obviously, I also am big in the Big Brother world, and that has been consuming my life for the past 50 days, watching Ceree Fields play her butt off in real time.
Amazing.
It's very validating because you get to see Ceree play really well, although as of this podcast, it might become a huge problem tonight, but we'll see.
I heard.
Yeah, it might get a little ugly for her. We'll see what happens. But I've done as much research as I ever have this afternoon leading up to this podcast for Survivor 45. So you guys are getting like the most freshest thoughts that I have of this current cast, because up until today, I really couldn't have picked them out of a lineup if they were on the show or not. I didn't know who they were. Now I know a lot about them. So I feel pretty good. Feels like a pretty good cast. Excited to see Bruce play again. Yeah,
actually play, right? Like play again. Hopefully. Actually play. Yeah, I every time the summer happens into the fall now, and people are like, oh, I gotta do Big Brother for 50 straight days or whatever it is, I'm like, man, I'm so glad Alexa and I never dove into that. Like, we would not be alive if we dove into that. It's hard enough sometimes to wake up in the morning and be like, we're gonna do podcasts today, let alone all of this content that you all put out for Big Brother. I commend you all, because I could not do it.
It's exhausting, like emotionally exhausting, physically exhausting, sort of. Also just emotionally, because you get to watch people do this like 24/7, it goes up and down and up and down. And this is the longest season they've ever done. So, yeah.
How much, what percentage of the live feeds do you watch? How committed are you? That's a bad way to frame that. How much do you watch the live feed?
I'm incredibly committed. I watch most days as much as I can.
Wow, good for you.
So it's a lot. I will watch. I mean, good for me or bad for me, depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Good for the brand.
Yeah, I watch it like when they're up. I try to catch as much as I can. I'll pause it if I have to go out and do stuff, and then try and fast forward and cut through all the small talk, the BS, boring stuff, and try to get to like the core, the meat of the content. And so I'm watching a lot of it.
I'm asking this because I actually committed. I have a friend who listens to this podcast who's obsessed with Big Brother, and I made the mistake of committing to actually watching this season. But now, like, I told him that 2 days ago, so I'm a little behind. He said this is one of the best seasons he's ever watched. Is that a consensus, or how do people feel with the whole Ceree thing?
We're literally like day 51 out of 100. So it's like saying this is the best Survivor season when we're at the merge. Like, you could have a really excellent pre-merge, but that doesn't make it the best season ever. I think there are a lot of seasons of Survivor where the first half is incredible and then it falls off a cliff. So I would say for the first, it's 51 days. It's ridiculous. Ceree is exhausted, by the way. She's like, I've made it to day 39. Why isn't this over by now?
That's a third of the year. My goodness.
Yeah. I mean, the writer's strike, they pushed it back.
Oh, that's why.
Then they added 2 weeks. So it's just come out. I would say it's been a really good season. I wouldn't say it's like top five or maybe even top 10, but out of 25 seasons, that's still pretty good. We have to see how it finishes. There are a lot of seasons that have a strong first half and then sort of get really boring. That's like the worst part about Big Brother, is that it goes for a long time. And if it's kind of boring and the house dynamics aren't very interesting, you just kind of fall asleep. Survivor's 42 minutes. If it's a boring episode, whatever, it's 42 minutes, but it's Big Brother, it feels like eternity. So,
well, I hate to do this to you, Peridium, but welcome to season 45. Episodes are now like an hour and 15 minutes. So
I trust they'll be better than any episode of Big Brother, for what it's worth.
you know, that really makes me happy, but also even happier I'm not watching Big Brother, because
I just developed such a pit in my stomach when you said we're halfway there at 51 days. Mm-hmm. I did not commit to what I realized I committed to. But you know what? We're here.
A lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. But we're here talking about Survivor 45 and the cast and doing the boot list. And for anybody who is new to the boot list game, the way that this is going to work is we are going to go from 18 to 1, 18 being the person we think is going to be voted off first, 1 being who we think is going to win. The way that the scoring works for this, if you were to put Bruce at 18th place and Bruce gets 18th place, you get 0 points. If you put Bruce at 18th place and he finishes 16th, you get 2 points. If you put him at 18th and he gets first, you get 17 points. So you're just doing the difference on where they placed compared to where you actually had them. So that's really it. It's a very simple game. We're going to be doing it 18 to 1. I am hearing myself just a little bit back, so that's just a little thing there. Yeah. We're having a little bit of sound difficulties, but we're going to get through it. But yeah, so 18 to 1, pretty. I know this is the freshest thing in your mind, so I'll make you be the bad guy first because I'm the bad guy most of the time. Who you got finishing last place on Survivor Season 45?
Yeah, this was interesting predicament. I had a few people. It's tough to create like a fictional boot order and then try to make sense of it, because if you get it wrong at the beginning, you kind of just like ruin the whole thing. I was listening to you guys talk about Survivor 43 and you had like Justine in the final three or something. Mm. And it was like, although Alexa did have Jesse losing Fire Making, which I thought was really cool.
Wow. I'm going to have to read that one back.
Yeah. So I was like, oh dang. Okay. You're onto something there. For me, waffling between the first boot of each of these three tribes, I picked, and I don't know what this is going to mean, I picked Kendra for first boot from the blue tribe, the Bellow tribe, and she is 30-year-old Steamboat Springs, Colorado bartender. She kind of had like Courtney Marit vibes a little bit from Panama. She's a little bit out there. She seems really smart, but I think, I don't know, I just had this weird first boot. She said she related to Carolyn last year a little bit. Maybe that was somebody else. I don't know. I just decided, you know what? A blue feels pretty strong overall, but if someone's going first, I might as well just cut my losses early. I pick Kendra as the first boot.
Yeah. We did our fantasy game and me and Alexa each picked 6 players in like a snake draft, and the 6 people who were left over, we just threw on a phantom tribe, and Kendra was on the phantom tribe. And she was probably one of 2 or 3 people that I thought was the least surprising to be over there. I do like that. Like, I've been following kind of RHAP and like what Bryce and everybody's kind of been putting out as their content for this season for the cast assessment. And a lot of them have done what Alexa and I have done, which is not listen to videos and kind of just be like, hey, there they are. This is it. We're reading the bio, and that's what the people do. And I feel like Kendra gave us the least. So she's the hardest one to kind of comment on. So I also have her quite low. I don't have her as the first boot, but I do have her quite low. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have her in a somewhat similar position, which always like it makes you wonder like what, again, we're reading into this like one, like these answers that they wrote a year and a half ago, probably. But it's definitely interesting, like the difference between watching someone talk and reading what they write. I feel like I have completely different perspectives of players. Right before this, I was watching what they would do if they were chosen, or what they would do if they had the opportunity to go on a journey. I thought that was a cool question that Mike Bloom asked. So that's sort of impacting at least like kind of the early boot list that I'm making so far. But yeah.
I do feel like for as little like pregame stuff as we've gotten in recent seasons, because like they're not doing as much out on the island, I do feel like this season's has been more interesting because they are actually putting out like, here's a question we asked the entire cast and here's their fun responses to it, as opposed to just like, oh, read their bios, or here's their 3-minute cast video that they decide to edit together and let you see. So I do think it's been a little bit more fun that way. But that's it. Alexa, who are you putting at your final spot?
So I think the yellow tribe is like the fun tribe, but also the tribe that could be in some trouble early on. I actually have Sean as my first boot. I didn't originally expect that. And I'm also changing I like to cut all my losses. And like, if I have someone very high in one of the games that we play, I'll put them low on the other game to hopefully try to win one of them. But with Sean, he has a like fantastic energy. He's a school principal. He's somebody who like I would want to hang out with, but I cannot like gauge a lot of Survivor like exact gameplay from what I've read, really. So it's probably just like there isn't a lot to go off of, which isn't really his fault. And maybe that could be a benefit because I feel like some people will overshare and that can kind of seem like they're putting too much thought into everything that they're doing. But I just cannot really get much of a read on him other than just very happy to be here, which is fun.
Yeah, I've been Peridium. We've been so low. I've been so low on the Yellow Tribe this whole pre-merge, this whole preseason. I'm like, there is no way this tribe has a lot of strong personalities, like massive personalities. Hannah's the one who's coming out saying that everybody's like the pick me generation, and she's like instantly calling people out. Sabaya is a truck driver who was like in the military, who feels like she's just gonna fight with people on her tribe. Emily wants to come out and play like Cass, which like great for TV, terrible for winning Survivor. I think poor Sean is going to be in over his head because he's going to be like, I want to, you know, make this tribe come together. And they're going to be like, all right, you're not a principal here. So that's not going to work for him. Brandon, huge Survivor fan, maybe does well, but also thinks Edge of Extinction is a good season. And then Caleb, who I think could win the game. So I'm just so low on this Yellow Tribe that I'm putting yellow people at the bottom. And my number 18 is Sabaya. With really no other reason except for she's on the Yellow Tribe, and I'm going to put four people from the Yellow Tribe very, very, very low. And then I'm going to expect a Malcolm and Denise kind of situation in this season. So we'll see what happens.
I actually almost had that exact similar feeling when I was looking at these groups. I grouped them up. Like I started with all of yellow, then all of red, then all of blue. And yeah, yellow gave me a lot of big personalities. Was it Brandon who said he liked Edge of Extinction or Brando? Because I had Brandon.
I think both of them didn't.
Did they both say that? Oh, wow. Okay. Because I know Brando said he likes EOE as a twist. And I had to write that down because I was like, what? not a huge fan of EOE personally as a twist. Season, it's better as a twist, though. I don't love it. But wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know Brandon also liked possibly like the twist. I mean, you probably like the twist if you like the season. Mm-hmm. I will say, yeah, I also have yellow suffering a bit in this pre-merge based on all of this that you just outlined going down the line of just listing these people. I don't feel as initially I felt a little iffy on Sean. I was watching Mike Bloom from Parade has a very long form interviews that he's done with. He's got like 20 minutes of video of them talking. And I thought that's a great way to like get into just have a vibe of how do they respond to the question? How do they present themselves? How do they tackle it? Like, where do they go first? Like, how do they engage with the interviewer a little bit? That's like a little bit helpful as far as preseason goes. I mean, it's not that helpful at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And then how does that dynamic play with the other five people, especially pre-merge that they're going to be dealing with for the first 6-7 episodes? And Sean initially gave me like, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like his answers felt very interviewy. Like he was not having a conversation. He was more giving like a very pageantry, like smile answer. Mm-hmm. But then I started warming up to him a little bit more. I liked his answers. He did refer to Todd from Survivor China, which was, I thought it was also a bit uncanny because he's from Utah. He's a gay Mormon or ex-Mormon. Mm-hmm. And he's just said Todd, but I did get like, I think Sean, it seems really smart to me. And I don't have that written down for like a lot of players in general. Like he gave off this,
I like that.
I kind of feel like he might be able to do more. I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, Pridim, but what you just said is this whole cast is dumb, right? That's kind of,
oh my goodness.
That's what a lot of people on this cast have these answers and they say what, and then it's like, well, so you're inferring then that they're other, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not saying they're dumb though. I don't think it's like one way or the other. It's Survivor. It's people running into each other on an island for 26 days, you know, call it what you want. Gabler won, you know, who knows? Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being dumb doesn't mean anything. Being smart, it is what it is. But yeah, I've shown a lot higher than this.
Okay. Now I do think what's fun about what you just said there though is with Sean, he's a principal. We are in the era of Survivor, and I think like the era of like the United States of people having very weird jobs now. It's not like back in the day, everybody had such clear cut jobs, like in the early seasons of Survivor, that if somebody did have a weird job, it stood out. Whereas mm-hmm. nowadays, like, I feel like we barely even look at what their jobs are. And a lot of times it's like that job isn't like defining them, or they, or it defines them so much that you're like Brandon being a content producer. What does that mean? Because technically, aren't we content producers? Like, it's like that could mean anything. And I think he's doing very well based on like where he's working and all that. But I just think that these personalities, these tribes, the people that are on there, they've become so much less like professional in what the standard was in the mid 2000s and like early teens, that now the people who are working like the regular, like weird jobs almost come across as like outcasts, because like they're like too professional. They're given like the regular answer that you have to give in a school principal setting.
Mm-hmm. I actually think it's exciting to have, the word I'm looking for is like, I'll say tangible jobs, like truck driver, like school principal. Deb was a school principal, and maybe that's it. I actually think that's a really cool job to be watching on Survivor. Mm-hmm. And
wasn't Butch too?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The believe in yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. We love that.
Yeah. He was a principal in Illinois.
I feel like those, it's like whenever there's a therapist on, we're like, okay, how is that going to work? It's going to go great or poorly. I think with those more tangible jobs, it seems like you can like buy in or buy out, because it's easier to make an assumption on like how they'll do based on their job versus like in the gig economy that we now live in, it's more like the jobs are more fluid. So it's harder to like pinpoint. So I really like seeing these more traditional jobs, for lack of a better term.
I totally agree. And I almost kind of look at it as like the jobs where if you cursed in front of your boss, you'd probably lose that job. Those are like the strange jobs on Survivor now, because like they aren't the normal job. Like if I went and cursed in front of any of my bosses, they would just be like, yeah, whatever. Like doesn't matter. But like there are specific, like if you're a school principal, you're not just like showing up to a board meeting being like this, you know, like you're not doing that. Like, and so maybe that's why it comes across a little bit like, you know, he's a little bit like more rigid off the bat, but then he starts getting comfortable and he starts becoming himself, because he realized, I'm not a school principal anymore. I'm out here to play Survivor and win the game. So maybe Alexa, now do you need to move Sean up? Do you immediately regret putting him at number 18?
Probably, but we're in too deep. We're 17 minutes in and we're on number 18. So
it's gonna start flying now. I'm trying to keep the conversation going, because I know that this is just gonna start rattling off when there's nothing left to talk about. So Purdy, I'm back to 17. Who you got?
Okay, so I'm going to the Yellow Tribe. I picked Hannah, who's calling out the pick.
I love Hannah.
I picked her first to go out of Yellow, even though she is calling a lot of people in this cast a pick me, which I don't blame her. But she's stuck with five of them on her tribe, and she might become surrounded really quickly. She's a casual fan of the show. I think she got recently into it in 2020. I think like feels like a lot of this cast did, like a third of them.
Mm-hmm. Which is refreshing.
Yeah, it's like new blood in the water, and they're more fit, I think, for the new era, for what Jeff is trying to produce. And hey, go! I the moment it showed up on Netflix, I thought this is going to be a good thing for the show. And a lot of these people are showing up. They're like, I wanted to be on the show after discovering it a few years ago. She compared herself to, like, of any winner, she picked Amber, which I thought was an interesting poll. And maybe that's the case, but Amber is such a unique, in my eyes, winner of the show that, like, I don't know how I'm supposed to make sense of that personally, like passive and, you know, hiding behind a bigger shield, but
also I don't know. Like, you know, this is a tough one here, man. I don't really.
She also threw out Kelly Wentworth. I think a lot of the women on this cast there at Kelly Wentworth and Aubrey, they're like two sides of the same coin to her. And I just feel like she might lose her cool with this group sooner than later. So I picked her to be the first boot of the Yellow Tribe.
Yeah, there's no way that tribe. I'm telling you, like, because nowadays Survivor's not about the physical, right? We can't sit here and say like, oh, this tribe is physically weaker, so they're going to lose more. Because that used to be how it is, but that's not how it is anymore. I like, it's so much more about teamwork and getting along and doing puzzles. And this just looks like a tribe that is going to argue with each other and fight. Their personalities are just too big. They're too big. And I don't think any of them are going to push it aside. Maybe we'll get a Kasaya 6 situation where all of them will just like roll through the game and they'll be super fun to watch. But man, if that happens, my boot list stinks, but my eyes are going to be very pleased with what I'm watching.
I mean, that would be like, if we're going to go like Survivor Philippines, you're looking at like the yellow tribe on that season, yeah. Which was just like the Hot Mess Express tribe, but they all made it to the merge and then they imploded. So yeah. Maybe that's what happens here.
The hot mess, there's always like one hot mess tribe every season, and they always, there's always like half of them go immediately and the other half perform very well as mm-hmm. per last season. So you never really know what you're going to get other than entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alexa, who's your 17?
I have Emily at number 17. I think
Boom, me too.
She would be, I would love her to last longer. Cause I watched her like interviews and before that, I forget if I said this live or not, but yes, I did. Before this, I was watching the, like, what would you do with the journey situation? I think like she has good answers and I think she's like extremely self-aware, which usually does not make for good TV, but she seems like so comfortable with who she is and doesn't necessarily want to change that to play, which I think is great. But she herself has said she's like, just might not gel with people and it just might take a little longer. So I feel like in this day and age of Survivor, when your tribe is really small, there's always going to be someone who either doesn't have a vote or does have an advantage. You're going to need all the allies you can get. And it sounds like that just might be a little difficult. So unfortunately I've heard at number 17.
Yeah, I've heard 17 also. Once she said she wanted to play like Chaos Cast, I get in her pre-casting thing, she's probably just trying to play it up as much as possible, but still, I'm sitting here and I can't help it. And did anybody else notice this on the parade images that Mike Bloom put out yesterday of the tribe splits? The blue tribe, they all have their canteens. The red tribe, they all have their canteens. The yellow tribe doesn't have any canteens. Hmm. And I don't know if I should read into that, if that's just like an oversight and like they just happen to take the picture at a different time. They don't necessarily look like dirty, like they just did a challenge. But I will say this. Emily, Hannah, and Sean look super weird because they have nothing on their shoulder and nothing in their hand. So they're just like kind of awkwardly standing there like, this is my cast photo. Whereas everybody else in the front row of the other tribes has like their canteen or something to hold, or it just looks different. But is that something I should be reading into of like, I'm right, they're going to lose this first challenge because they're not going to get water?
Is that a thing?
That feels so not okay.
I will say I've analyzed a lot of this show. I don't think I've ever analyzed that. So I don't
have a new video drop.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, maybe there's something to this. We'll see if you're right. You know, maybe it means something. We'll find out next week.
I know. I'm just curious. I didn't notice. That's a crazy thing in that picture. Everybody else has their canteens except for Yellow. So that's why Yellow's going to suck, is because they forgot to give them water. But who do you have at 16, Peridium?
Yeah, so I'm sticking with Yellow. And I don't have Emily, although honestly, I could have had Emily. I picked, and this might be, I don't know if it's a hot take or not, I picked Caleb.
That is a hot take because I don't
to
like
Phil, it. That's a hot take.
Yeah, I don't like
so it. Here's the thing. It's not that I don't, this isn't like I like these people or dislike them. It's I just feel like with the way that the Yellow tribe is breaking down, I just feel like Caleb has a little bit of like this big move-itis in him. The high energy could translate to getting himself booted out sooner than later. Looking at this group, I might have, like, to you guys, I might have overrated Sean, and maybe I flipped Sean and Caleb in this boot order, but yeah, he said he likes villains, and I'm like, I just don't know how this is going to translate. And he's just, like, he's full of confidence, high octane. I think he would be really interesting to watch go far, but, I mean, if I'm picking, like, just based on, like, Occam's Razor, I feel like he could go sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't disagree more. So although Alexa go, Alexa respond.
Caleb is a super, super fan. I think in the grand scheme of people who are on the season, he seems like someone who's a super fan, which does like trigger the, ooh, is he going to come out and overplay? And he seems overconfident in a very fun way. Like, I don't always like overconfident players, but he is someone who I think I'll really enjoy and could make a really good villain. But yeah, I think especially in a season, I hadn't really considered this until we started talking about it, in a season where fans are kind of newer, it might not gel great with somebody who is like overly prepared for the game. So yeah, I could see that. I think he's fun and I think he's really funny. So I have him a little, I have him lasting a little bit longer, but yeah, I totally see that.
Yeah. I think the, like for me, he seems like he's more fun in his unapologetic self way. And I don't necessarily think that, like, I don't think he's going to rub many people the wrong way. I think he's going to be like a nice comedic relief needed on that tribe, which is why I think he's the best set up. Like the rest of it, I think they're all, they could all be very funny in their own way, but I think he has the most natural ability to be the funny guy on that tribe, which they might need, especially if they start losing early. Like I think they're going to, and especially if like all the personalities are just butting heads so much, like you're going to need that person where you can just walk over and be like, Caleb, you know, he's doing this again. And they're going to be, and Caleb's going to be like, here's my funny one liner. And you're going to be like, I like you. Let's keep you around. So I don't know. I'm living in a fantasy world, but I think Caleb's going very far in this game.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, that's fun.
All right, Alexa, you got a hot take at 16, or is this going to be another copy of me?
I have Kendra at 16, so it's a copy of Peridium. Yeah, she, again, if she's like Courtney Merritt and Carolyn, then I will probably move her a lot higher because I love both of them for very, not for strategic reasons necessarily in terms of Courtney, but if like, again, I couldn't get a lot out of her from like a survivor standpoint. And that tribe like doesn't seem like the hot mess tribe to me that she's on. And so I don't know, I understand what I'm implying here, but they seem like I think if she was on the yellow tribe, it sounds like there'd be a lot more gelling, but I like her. I just don't really know where she would gel on the blue tribe.
Yeah, I have her at 15, so we can kind of like say that our ceiling for Kendra is 15 and our floor is 18. So we're not giving her much of a chance here. But the one positive I think that we could pull from this is like bartender. That's a social job. Maybe that works in her favor. I do agree with you, though. I just think she's kind of on the wrong tribe based on like everything I'm reading about everybody on this cast. Yeah. And sometimes that just happens. I mean, sometimes you just get stuck with the wrong group of people. You don't fit in and you're gone early. And we've seen people like we saw Kelly Wentworth have that happen to her where she did. It didn't work for her because Drew decided she was the most dangerous thing to ever walk on planet Earth. And it turns out that like she was really good at Survivor. But also like once she actually got to play again with people who were giving her a chance, look how far she made it. So I think it really does come down personality wise a lot of the time. So I have her at 15, which is the highest out of anybody. So I am a Kendra stan, I guess, according to the podcast.
But, we love a stan.
But my 16 is actually going to be, where do I have it? I have Brando as my 16, not Brandon, Brando.
On the blue tribe.
Yes. And that's my, so I have Brando and Kendra both losing here. I actually think the blue tribe is like the most cohesive and I think they're going to do the best, but I also think that like the ceilings for Brando and Kendra aren't very high. So that's why I put them lower than people from the red tribe, even though I'll have like blue going a little bit further. And Brando's whole thing, like he just got on my bad side by saying Edge of Extinction was a good twist. I just cannot get over
it. He cannot make the merge.
I really cannot get over it. He needs to be the third person voted out now so that he can understand what's really supposed to happen to the third person voted out of Survivor. I'm just saying, I can't help it, but that's where I put him. In the winner spot of his favorite season.
I could totally see Brando being pre-merge. I think I put him on my boot list based on how the seasons play out at like the merge Lydia hourglass screwed person who's just sort of like picked off because they don't have strong enough bonds and they're sacrificed because only half the tribe is safe at that point when all three tribes come together. But yeah, Brando was like, he seems like a normal, nice, regular dude who's there. And I didn't have a lot to write about when it came down to taking a few notes. I liked him. He seems very friendly. He seems very young. He likes Edge of Extinction. I wrote that down. That was like one of the five things I wrote. And I just was like, you know, maybe he'll go early because sometimes that happens. They're like not as physically strong. Maybe his tribe will prefer that. I don't know. It's funny because last season I thought Bruce was one of the most normal people in the tribe. And now he's on a tribe with Bruce. So maybe that will equal out and they'll actually come together and there's just two normies hanging out. But on the flip side, maybe he's a pre-merger.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard to tell with this new era because so much, there's so many twists and people lose votes. I mean, we watched Matt go through last season without a vote for what, seven episodes or something ridiculous like that. Like it happens now. And so there is so much randomness to it, but Brando, I feel like at best he's going to finish like seventh or eighth. And at worst, he could be the first person voted off of the season. So for me, like to put him here at number 16, I'm kind of banking on it being a little bit lower than high, but I don't see him being the winner of the season.
So you have him as first boot from blue?
I do, right? I have him and Kendra being like the first two. I think Kendra's like personality and things, like if her job actually does come into play where being a bartender like helps her, I think she has more upside than Brando does.
Okay. I can see it.
Who's your 15, Peridium?
15. We already talked about, I think, a little bit, Emily.
Yeah.
On Yellow. She's very fast talker, very analytical. I did worry she might be a little quieter on this tribe. And it was her and Hannah. And I did slot Caleb in there as just like this potential overplayer early game. But ultimately, yeah, I was like, these three from Yellow could go one after the other. And yeah, she just, I felt initially decent about her when I was reviewing. I started with Yellow, but then she just kept falling down the ranks as more people showed up. And next thing I knew, I was just like, I think, I don't know, just a little, she seemed a little too quiet maybe, which is weird because I feel like she talks so much in the interview, but I don't know, strange vibe.
Yeah, I mean, it's just when you want to go out to be the villain, how bad do you want to be the villain? Do you want it to be so bad that you're willing to like give up your chance to win to be memorable, or like, no? So that's, Kendra and Emily we have as the ceiling of 15th place.
Yeah.
We could be very wrong.
First four episodes.
First four episodes, that's it. Yeah. So, Alexa, who you got at 15?
This is my first person from the Red Tribe, and maybe anyone's first person from the Red Tribe.
It is.
I have Julie, and I don't want that. I'm trying to get a little bit of every tribe in the pre-merge. But I look at who's on the Red Tribe, and for some reason, I feel like Drew and Jay Maya will get along. Maybe I just want that to happen. I think that Austin and Sifu, they both seem pretty like, at this point, like strong play, like physically strong players are very important at this point. And I'm kind of bummed because I really like Julie's story and I hope I could be wrong. And maybe she could be like what Bruce would have been to the Tika tribe. But I don't know. I think early on people look for excuses to get rid of anybody. And that tribe does seem to be very physically strong. And so unfortunately, I think like Julie could go early.
Yeah, I feel like Julie archetypes, the older mother, she's a little bit kooky, gave me like T-Bird, Heather from 41. I know somebody said Sandy. I feel like the variance for players like Julie, I know.
That's like such a swing.
I don't think that's a compliment.
I mean, Sandy.
I love Sandy personally. She makes every episode she's in. But yeah, I mean, as a player, it's like trying to predict where she, I could not figure out. I'm like, Julie, I don't know where the heck she's going to fall in this boot order. She could be the first boot from her tribe, or she could be like a losing finalist, which sucks to say, or maybe she's Heather and she goes out in fourth place losing in fire. I don't really know. And I actually have her in the middle of the entire, I have her at like 10th place. Like she's basically in the middle of it all. Mm-hmm. And it was just by like default, because I was just looking at everyone else. I'm like, I don't know how Julie's going out possibly as like the merge boot. That doesn't make any sense in my head. But yeah, that's where she fell.
It's tough with Julie because I'm surprised nobody had said her in the top three boots, just because I feel like the older woman is just the easiest one to be like, bye, like no doubt going to go home early. But we've seen Heather go to Final Four. We saw Julie Rosenberg go to Final Three. Like we have seen older women over 40 go deep in this game in recent seasons. I mean, even Sunday back in 33, like that wasn't that long ago. And she made it to seventh. Yeah, she beat Will. So like we have seen the older woman go deeper in this game in recent years than we've probably seen at any other time in Survivor history. So I feel like Julie's story is great. I think she's a hustler. I love all of that about her. I struggle with this red tribe, and it's why I haven't put anybody getting voted out yet in my first four boots, because I really don't see somebody from the red tribe who sticks out like a sore thumb to me as they're going to be the first boot. And I'm almost like trying to hedge my bets where Drew could be the first boot, but if he's not, I don't want to be the one who had him at 17th place and then he ends up finishing second, because I feel like there's a lot of fluctuation over there. So I'll let Peridium go first. Peridium, who do you got at 14?
Yeah, it's interesting because I am also going for the first time going to red. I felt the best about the red tribe from the three of them based on individual players as well as like cohesively where they fall. They're also by far, I think, the youngest tribe of the three. And I think that their younger players are also quite physical. I feel pretty good about them. As far as who would go first, I picked Jay Maya to go first. And partially the physicality of this group, partially I feel like there's going to be connections formed that I could see that might leave her on the outs. Austin and Drew seem like they could connect. I don't know exactly where D falls, but she's sort of a social player. I don't know. She looks like she's somebody who could just sort of fit in the flow of it. Julie could go first. Not surprised. Wouldn't be surprised to see that older, I'm not going to say Wendy Jo type, but she's this very like, you know, she's just got that sweet kooky mom vibe to her. And who knows, maybe that's not as important. Although the further you get into the game, if she's not gone, if they don't lose in the first couple episodes, maybe it goes the other direction. And maybe a stronger player goes first. Maybe Sifu goes, or who knows, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, I had Jay Maya at 14.
She's also my first one. And after endless sleepless nights since I picked her as the last pick in the fantasy draft, I picked her over Drew and Brandon. And Drew was really the one that bothered me because I was like, between them, I couldn't take Brandon because of what he said about Edge of Extinction. But for like Drew, I was like, oh, God. And I ended up going with Jay Maya, and Alexa gasped audibly on this podcast. And I think we lost like 100 viewers because people were like, what are you talking about? Phil picked Jay Maya over Drew. But I also put her at 14. And I think the biggest reason is like Jay Maya absolutely can be the first person voted out. She could win, but she could absolutely be the first person voted out of this game. And so for me, like if I think somebody can be the first person voted out, I don't want to be putting them in like my top 10. Even if we're going to get like an Aubrey type situation where Aubrey goes on a run and makes it all the way to the end and ends up becoming like a survivor icon. I put Aubrey at last place on that season, and she was very close to being the first person voted out of that game. You know what I mean? Like, or at least the first person voted out of the tribe. She was the best loser. Exactly. And so I'm putting Jay Maya here because I think out of everybody on red, she really does have, I think if they were to lose the first tribal, it would be Jay Maya or Julie. So Julie is who I have at 13. But I'm going to give it to Jay Maya as a little bit better of a chance of going home than Julie, just because like I could see Jay Maya almost playing too hard where Julie says, I need to take a step back because I'm the older woman. And that's an easy reason to vote me out. Jay Maya goes out, and somebody in the comments here said, she has the least chance to go far. This is J.E. because she just wants to make friends and be nice, just like Mariah. And Mariah in season 43 did struggle, even though nobody dislikes Mariah. Like, everybody really likes Mariah. So I could see it just like not working for Jay Maya. She comes out in that first challenge, she's weaker, and people say, you know what, like, we can't let her just get going with the social game. So we put her at 14. I got Julie at 13. And now I've gone through two people from each tribe, and now I'm going to just start killing the yellow tribe. So, Alexa, who do you have at what number are you up to? At 14.
Ugh, I also had Jay Maya at 14. And the reason I didn't speak up is because I was trying to switch it around. But I'm a little in too deep now. I actually really liked all of her answers. I like, this is me being a geriatric 30-year-old, but I was like, oh my God, she's Gen Z. I don't understand her. But I actually, I really liked her answers. But at the same time, like, if that, like, you know, going out to like have the adventure, I think is great, but I don't think that makes for a good Survivor winner. So aligned.
Yeah. Look at that. So there is no doubt that Jay Maya finishes 14th. If there was one spoiler that we all read, it's that Jay Maya finishes 14th place, because there's never been more confidence in a group of three people than Jay Maya, who knows what place she finishes, is sitting there going, holy shit, did I finish 14th on this season?
She's like, maybe I did.
Whoa. I thought I finished like 12, but
she's
I guess
not. I won. However, maybe I didn't.
Edge of Extinction came back and put Brando and Brandon ahead of her. So now she drops to 14th instead of her 12th place finish.
Survivor fans, we're a confident bunch. You know, we all believe in the same thing, and that's just how it is.
We base all of our decisions off of like three sentences that we can't look at.
So we're so pathetic. But anyway, Purdim, who do you have at 13? I got Julie.
Yeah. You have Julie at 13?
I don't mean to interrupt. This is the person who, the next person is the weird merge boot.
I think it's been both of these spots. I think it has been 13 and it's been 12, right?
Oh, you're right. I had Brando at 11. Never mind. Okay. So I originally said Brando might be that person, but it's not. Yeah. I think it's 12th usually because the jury is 8 in the final three. So that's 11.
So it's 12. So that means 12th Lydia
is usually the awkward non-merge.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So Lydia was, I think Lydia got like
the first six.
12. Yeah.
So this is like the last person to get clipped in the pre-merge before they do anything.
Yeah, so this is the last person before they are doing this fake merge again, right? Like this is maybe not even the fake merge, but they're doing like the split tribes again.
I think that's the way the cookie crumbles now.
God, we gotta get a crumbly cookie, but okay.
I tried to make sense of the tribe dynamics in the pre-merge to determine who might go first and who might go second. Mm-hmm. And I just had to drop some pre-merge bombs. You know, Caleb was the first one. So second one is going to be somebody that I would love to see go far. I cracked up at their interview, their live interview, or not their live interview, but the video one on a parade. And I was initially not sure what to think, but then the moment they started talking the first answer, I laughed. And I feel bad. This is not a personal slight on them at all. I'm putting Jake.
Mm. Oh, come on. I love him.
Right? I liked him too. I just said, you know what? With this group, I don't know exactly how this is going to play out. Jake is a super fan. He said he's like similar to Chris from Vanuatu, not Edge of Extinction.
Thank God. I mean, I love Chris. I've actually never met Chris Doherty, but I love Chris Underwood. So it's kind of like a mean way to say that. I do love Chris Underwood, but yes. Sure.
You watching the challenge? Because I know he's on the challenge.
I'm not. Okay. But I'm rooting for him in spirit because he is such a nice guy. And he got so screwed by the fact that like he was just the winner of.
I mean, he got a lot of money for being screwed. So, you
that's
know,
true. Sort
of,
you can't balance that. Out.
Yeah. He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
I kind of felt like Jake could turn into what felt like the Danny of last season where he's kind of wanting to overplay, but then somehow fumbles it. It doesn't work out. He talked about how like. Jeremy Collins like sort of screwed up the final tribal meta. He's really focused on the final tribal for some reason, which could be maybe he's foreshadowing something that hasn't happened yet, but it is going to happen. It's already happened. He makes the final tribal and he blows smoke up everyone's butt and he wins because he said Jeremy was too honest and he made it like a precedent where everyone has to be so honest all the time. And he's like, you just got to BS people the right way to get their votes.
Yeah.
And I like it. It sounds great as like an elevator pitch. For an interview, but I don't know. I just was like, is that the vibe that I want on a cast? Like it gives me Danny who's like playing big and doesn't ultimately pan out for him in the end. I don't know. So I just put him here.
Yeah. I mean, Danny went far though. The name Danny just goes far in this new era of Survivor. I mean, that that works out, but I get what you're saying. It also helps when you can tell the truth and be super nice when you're in the most guaranteed win of all time. Other than maybe Earl back in season, whatever, 14. Like it is like Jeremy was in such a, he's obviously going to win in this final three.
Yeah.
That like, it was easy for him to just come out and tell the truth and do whatever. I like where Jake's head's at though. Like, give me the Chris Doherty. Like I brought you your hat because I love you. Not because I brought you your hat. So you'll give me $1 million. Like I'm all on board for that. Give me that. So yeah, maybe we'll get him in final three and maybe he'll try to go that route and maybe it'll just screw him and he's just going to be like the way Superfans
Who does Jake work with out of the gate? That's what I want to know. Like, let's say they need a majority of four. On the Blue Tribe, does he get Bruce? Because I think he might get Bruce pretty quickly.
Bruce Katura, is another...
Kelly. That's it.
You think that's it? Done. And then Kendra and Brando are at the bottom?
Okay. He and Bruce live within 45 minutes of each other and I feel like... That's like they don't talk about that a lot on Modern Survivor, but I think that is something that's pretty important. Mm-hmm. You know,
I agree, and I do think like you're gonna get that like Bruce is going to get to the island and be like, hey, everybody, I'm Bruce. I was on last season. What's your name? He's going to point at Jake, and Jake's going to talk, and he's going to go, holy crap, you're from Boston. Like, I need to side so with obvious. You. It's the most brutal. We were talking about it beforehand. Who has the thicker Boston accent? Is it Jake or Brett? Who has the thicker?
He reminded me of Brett. He did. I said, this guy feels like Brett from 33, like 10 years later.
Yeah.
Jake has like such a deep cut Boston accent. Like, yeah. Like, Brett's is like a Ben Affleck, Matt Damon situation. Jake's is like not an actor. Like Jake's yeah. is like next level.
Can't be on the radio.
I've never met someone with Jake's accent, and I grew up outside of Boston.
I love it.
Can't be on the radio.
I have Jake going much further. I really do. I have Jake going significantly further. Jake, sorry if you're listening. You can come on our podcast. It's fine.
We won't understand anything.
Preseason means nothing.
Nothing. Means even if I'm making fun of your accent, it's just so thick.
It's so good. I wish I had it.
I love Boston accents, you know? I love it.
It's the best.
I wish I had it.
And I do love he's literally wearing like a shirt that just says Boston on it in the tribe photo. Like he is letting you know what he is all about.
In case you missed the memo and you couldn't hear his voice.
It's been a while since we've had an unapologetically obnoxious Boston person.
It's like a subtitle. It's just he's talking and it just says Boston.
Yeah.
Job, Massachusetts.
I'm all about this. Alexa, who's your 13?
I don't know. I gotta look. I had Brando here. Okay. Kind of similar to you guys. I liked him. I don't find it personally insulting that he feels neutral to positive about Edge of Extinction. And he seems like very well educated on the show, but I don't, we're kind of at that unfortunate point in the boot list where there's kind of no reason for someone to go or no reason not to go. But yeah, I have Brando. That's not a great explanation.
I'm realizing as I do this that I have a very definitive top nine and a very definitive bottom nine. Because there are three people left in my boot list that I'm shocked I still have left. Mm-hmm. But then I look at who I've already said and I'm like, okay, like they're all kind of like this is my top. Like I don't believe that they would fit in here. I have a very definitive top nine. I have a very definitive bottom nine. And I guess there's one person who's kind of like the ninth-ish person. So like they're kind of in no man's land. But I will do my number 12 now, and that's Sean. That kind of no man's land boot. They do the six-person thing. Sean's feeling good. Sean's playing well. And then Sean gets stuck in a situation where he's the easiest person to vote out from whatever tribe. Also, I think there's probably a good likelihood that Sean actually goes before this and that Blue and Red don't both lose two people prior to this point. So that's why I'm putting Sean like in 12, because I could see him being like pretty much like anywhere from like 12th to 18th. But I have such low expectations for this yellow tribe. And I think Sean, his ceiling just is not, he just does not have like a high ceiling at all in my estimation, but this would be a spot where it would make sense for somebody like him to go. I mean, Sydney was somebody that like people were kind of surprised where she went. Lydia was people were very surprised when she went at that spot. Like this has become such a random boot season after season. Who was it last year who had this?
Was it Josh?
Josh, that's right. Yeah, like where, you know, he was such a big, he was non-existent, then he was such a big character, and then he's just gone in this weird no man's land. So
yeah,
that's who
my I switched mine around. I put Brando there. Originally, I thought that I also had that the same thing. Like he would be this, like at least something to do with the lack of connections. You're just like, you're one of six people. You have the least allies vouching for you for whatever reason. So I put Brando there, but yeah, he was my number 12.
Okay. Alexa?
All right, now we're at our weird...
No, you're still at 12. You haven't done your 12.
No, I mean the weird merge, right?
That's 12.
That's okay. 12. So that's where I had Sean and Peridium had Brando. So we both actually just did that like weird...
Okay, I'm going to put D here. One, because it would really bother Phil for the person he wants to win to go out in the twist that he hates the most. So partially for that. I think she's going to be... like very good from a challenge perspective, but that tribe, I think, I don't like totally know where she'll fall in terms of allies. Like maybe she and Sifu would be close, but I don't, there's like no obvious alliances that stick out to me on that tribe. So I feel like they are the tribe that could potentially fall apart.
Yeah. I don't know about that. And I don't like Dia 12, Alexa, you're out.
I know you really just don't, you just are not here for that.
That's worse than the Caleb comment from Peridium. It's really bothering me. This is my one hope. I got to move. I literally have to move from my house to somewhere else if D doesn't win, because otherwise, like, I have no shot at Bryce and Wendell ever coming and hanging out. So this is the only chance I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta hold out.
Go for it.
Anyway, Pradim, I know you said you had Julie at 10. Who do you have in the spot before 10? Who do you have in
So I kind of looked at it like maybe the tribe that goes into the merge, which sometimes happens with the most numbers, falls apart. That would be the red tribe based on the people I've already listed. So I picked Sifu at 11. He doesn't seem like too much of a super fan, which is fine. But he feels kind of like, he really reminds me a little bit of like Ryan from 43, where he's like this, he's into physical martial arts. This is Sifu, not Ryan, but he's into Tai Chi. He related himself to Tony and Wu, which was like opposite ends of the spectrum as far as players go. That to me tells me like you don't really know what to say, I guess. You just like Tony and you like Wu. But as a player, like I would never say I'm Tony Vlachos. That's who I would play as if I went on Survivor. And I really didn't get that from Sifu. And I feel like he's kind of just someone who's going to get into the merge. And if the numbers turn against him, which in this hypothetical boot order, yeah, he goes. He's a physical, probably somewhat of a physical threat. Seems like a nice guy, likable guy. He's got an interesting story. I found it. He's got some YouTube videos of him doing Tai Chi and stuff, and pretty cool. But I don't know. I just think a lot of strategy from him. He didn't give me the vibe that he was going to be this guy who's going to run the table. So I thought, well, we're at the merge now. The tribes have all come together. Top 11, first sure. Sifu. I could see it. Yeah.
I, not to jump ahead, I actually had him in my next spot as well. I also took a note. He is one of kind of the only people who actively wanted to go on a journey, which shouldn't be a knock, but I think for considering that nobody on the season wants to go on a journey, I think that actually could be a knock because it's so different. And I think that shows that he'll play aggressive, which I think is fantastic, but to not like look at the greater picture of what could come with that, I think is something that could be a flag.
Yeah, my biggest knock on Sifu is he loves the new era of Survivor. He's like, that was his hot take.
This poor guy
loves the new era of Survivor, and like I just, God, like no. And he, I mean, like Alexa and I talked about it on the boot list or on our fantasy draft. Like his reasoning was like it's more inclusive. There's more people playing. I was like, yeah, I get
great
that.
Reasons. Yeah,
but the new era of Survivor is like not like good TV. Like this is not what Survivor was meant to be. I'm sorry. And like I do enjoy a lot of what I watch, but like then like in this off season, I just went and watched Panama. My wife and I are still making our way through because she's never seen the old seasons, and we're watching Panama and I'm like, God, it used to be so good. Like it just like Panama to me when I watched the first 20 seasons was like a mid-tier season. And now I rewatch it. I'm like, is this the greatest thing I've ever seen? Well, compared to season 41 through 44, yeah, you know, like it's pretty awesome.
I think it has the best my favorite episode, which is Bruce's medevac.
Amazing episode.
From the new era, Bruce from the old era.
We're gonna do this now, and Shane's just completely naked carrying this poor man through the
being through the named Panamanian beach. Being named Bruce is such a health hazard on this show.
It is.
Really is.
It really is. But so I don't have Sifu at number 11. I go Brandon here at number 11. I have him as like the first merge boot. Doesn't need a second chance to make the jury. He just makes it on his own. He doesn't need Edge of Extinction to come out of the woodwork and save him. So, but I'm going to put him here at 11. Now I'm down to just two people from the Yellow Tribe. Like this is what I'm talking about. So like two people from the Yellow Tribe remaining in my final 10, four from each of the other tribes. I just really have low expectations for this Yellow Tribe. And I wouldn't be surprised if like other than Caleb, who Peridium had so low, Other than Caleb, I would not be surprised to see any of the other five people on this tribe amongst the first four boots of this season. I really would not be shocked at all. Like, I think that tribe is just in trouble. But the two people who survive that have a very obvious Shannon Ricard type, like, level of ability to go through the game. Denise and Malcolm, Shannon Ricard. Like, that is a good spot to be in if you can get there. I think they'll probably go in with three people into the merge.
Unless they just lose six straight episodes and we just have two tribes.
Yeah, and then we just have to, I mean, is there going to be a swap on this season? Have they talked about that?
I don't know. I'm going to say probably because they tried to do it a little bit last year. And
yeah,
I feel like they should. They should.
Yeah.
Because if they do it, then like I could see them getting down to two. But I also feel like in the newer era, like, the challenges are too random for one tribe to just get absolutely decimated in the way that we're used to seeing. And even back in 41, when that happened, it wasn't like they got super decimated because the yellow tribe only had, well, they had four people going into the merge, but they lost two challenges early on. So it was just, there were more episodes for that, or the blue tribe was just so dominant, you know, it wasn't even so much that green was just weak. So I got Brandon at 11.
Okay.
Priyam, do you want to say anything about Julie, who you have at number 10?
Not too much. We talked about her earlier in the pre-merge. So she fell. She was one of those random slots I put in this boot order. I was like, I don't know. I feel like she could be final three. I feel like she could be first out. So put her in the middle.
Love that. That's it.
Perfect.
There you go.
Easiest way.
Yeah. Math makes sense.
Alexa, who's your 10?
Okay, so I am looking at who's remaining and now I'm trying to make some storylines. So I have Caleb at number 10, and in my head, he and Jake have like a villain off, or maybe like a top dog off, a la Jeremy and Josh, which unfortunately hasn't really happened. Like, I guess also Dom and Chris, but I loved like the Jeremy and Josh fight. I loved the Dom and Chris fight. And again, they simmer. So I imagine Caleb and Jake have that. I really hope I'm right. But I think that Caleb is going to lose it. So I have Caleb at number 10, which I guess is also the weird 5-5 tribal council, assuming that's still happening.
Okay.
And this is also not that like I would know where he stands at that point, but I feel like that's also a tribal council where there's some weird person always goes home who maybe is in a powerful position, and this is a chance for them to
just
not
get screwed by the, totally, by the twist. Yeah,
no, by the game, point. By the monster. Yeah.
By the monster, which is Jeff Probst and production. Yeah, I mean, I could totally see this being a spot where Caleb went. I mean, pretty much once you get to like final 10 now, it's so unpredictable. It's become predictable. Like, we know that they're going to do a 5-5 split. They've done it for four straight seasons. So we're assuming they're going to do it again on this season. Right. And if they do it, it's not that unpredictable. And you know that if you're in a bad spot, you're going to have this chance at final 10 to perhaps flip the numbers around. And yeah, Caleb, he's going to be so likable. It makes sense that he would potentially go here. In my world, at my 10, I do finally have Sifu. That's, you know, I already talked about him. He likes the new era of Survivor. I think he's a strong guy. I think he's going to be like a physical competitor for that red tribe, which will really help them early on. But then ultimately I just have him like being too much of a threat almost once they hit merge. So Sifu goes bye bye. Now we're into the top half. And this is like where I'm saying, like, I have a huge gap between my bottom nine and my top nine.
Yeah, I also am sort of now in a group where I'm like, I don't totally know.
You're gonna love my first pick, Phil.
Your number one overall?
No, my number nine.
Oh, okay. Well, who you got at number nine?
I got D.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I had D because I feel like she's kind of like that. She's not a big fan. She's a newer fan. She started a few years ago. She seems sociable. Seems likable. Don't really have a problem with her at all, as far as I could tell. I feel like she's one of those women who goes into the merge, and because of, based on this hypothetical boot list of losing red after red after red, I feel like maybe she just fits into like that. What was that girl? I forgot her name from like Ghost Island, where it's just like the pretty girl who's in the middle of the tribe and doesn't have a lot of experience and can't finesse her way out of
Libby.
Kind of like a Libby or something like that.
Harmony 2.0 or 19.0, whatever.
I think she's like 13.50 or something. Yeah. So I'm just like, you know, Dee kind of fits into that structure of like, she's down in numbers, can't find a way out of it. I don't know. That's the headcanon I've got right now in the preseason. So I put her 9. Also another person like Julie, where I was like, I guess I could see her doing well. I just don't know exactly what that looks like. And because she's kind of a newer fan, I wasn't getting a lot of like confidence that she's going to run the table and get to the end and win this game, but who knows? Preseason.
I still think you can win Survivor without knowing the game incredibly well. Like, I do think you can win this new era without knowing it really well. And I think that works in her favor. Like, I think if this was the 30s, it's a little bit harder to pull that off. Like, think about the winners we had in the 30s. Those were like huge fans of Survivor, like from top to bottom. They knew the game like the back of their hand. I think this newer era, you can get away with not being as massive of a fan. And I think we've seen a lot of fans finish in that third place spot and not necessarily understand why they're finishing in the third place spot. My number 9, this is my no man's land guy. So I have my bottom 9, I have my top 8, and then this is kind of my island, but still way significantly higher than my bottom 9. I have Drew, who I like to call Skinny Mitchell, because my God, did they cast Skinny Ryan and Mitchell in this one man? Like, he is so much taller than everybody on his tribe.
How tall is he?
Maybe
his whole tribe is short.
Maybe he's 5'10" and his entire tribe is 5'2", but he is gigantic next to everybody on his tribe. And I'm pretty sure in the overall,
Mitchell is the tallest person I think in the history of Survivor. I'm pretty sure. Or is it Scott? Might be Scott.
I think it might be Scott Pollard now, but I think Scott Pollard's 7 feet tall, and I think Mitchell was like 6'11".
You're right. I think you're right.
But Drew, when Drew stands next to his tribe, he is a full head taller than every single other person on his tribe. And like Bruce was a little bit taller than me, maybe the same height as me. I can't really remember. I feel like I was looking up at him, but you know, I just want to compliment. But I think like if Bruce was my height, I'm 5'9"-ish, 5'10"-ish. I'm somewhere in that range, whatever you want to call it. This guy is like his shoulders are above Bruce's head. So what does that make him? 6'7", 6'8"? Is he tall Zach levels, Alexa? Is he there?
What a reference.
But I think like I'm looking at this picture, whenever they took this canteen photo, his shirt already doesn't fit him. So if this is day one, he needed a new shirt. If this is day two, he is already feeling it. Like, I feel like this guy could go out really, really early. But I also think like he is there for a good time. I'm very happy that all of you still have not said his name. I'm like really pumped for the prospect of Drew on this season. But yeah, I'm going to put him here in like this no man land spot of could he win? Sure. But also like he could just be like so exhausted. Skinny Ryan and Mitchell were not very good at Survivor. And so I can see that happen.
I wonder if they purposely put him in the middle of the group cast photo because he's so it's like a pyramid.
I can see it.
Yeah. Also, yeah, J.E. does say, like, I'm supposed to be high on him because I liked Matt last year just because he was tall. And that's how much research I did on the Survivor 44 cast.
True, you love tall people.
I do. Who do you have at 9, Alexa?
Sorry, I'm in a weird hole of photos. I have Sabaya at number 9. I really liked her, and I think she gets out of, like, one of you had her and one of you hasn't yet, but I think she gets out of the yellow pre-merge. And I am very partial to her because of her job, as we were talking about kind of earlier. But I think when tribes get decimated that early, you need to be super tight with the remaining people. And I don't know if that will necessarily be the case with any survivors from yellow. I don't really see any of them winning. So I have her kind of going out for maybe just not being a part of the majority alliance.
Yeah, I had her as my first boot. And again, I think like more just saying like yellow, I just think's in trouble. And I think she's going to be one of the people who, knowing Carl as well as I know Carl as a truck driver, I feel like Sabaya, if she has that same personality on a smaller starting tribe, is going to have a hard time on a tribe with a lot of strong personalities. Because like Carl is unapologetically Carl. And that worked great for him on his season because he's on the right cast. And like, he's a great guy to be around. But if Sabaya has a similar personality, that could be bad for her. Mm-hmm. I'm basing that on, I know one truck driver. All right. Pretium, who do you have at 8?
The man, the myth, the legend himself. I put Bruce.
Bruce.
There it is.
took a while, name. And I honestly don't even know at this point that how this is happening. My boot order stopped being sensical and just started being like, all right, we got a couple of names. I think also I started because I said I had Sean at number 7. So I ended up with basically like the top two for me of each tribe, not necessarily based on how likely they are to win the game, but I picked like 2 yellow, 2 red, 2 blue. And I think I just said like, you know, I don't think Bruce is going to win this season. He's like the oldest guy on the cast. And I don't know if he's going to be able to pull that off here, but you know, everything that I said last year basically applies this year, except he's got a 12 hour head start.
Yeah.
Love it.
I love that you said head start. Hopefully his head doesn't nail it this year. Pun yeah, here we intended. Go. Yeah, you're the first one to mention Bruce. I am getting to Bruce. I don't have him yet. I have Hannah here. So Alexa, okay. I know you both. No, Alexa hasn't said Hannah yet. It was just you, Peridium.
Just me.
In this hypothetical universe, it's Caleb and Hannah who end up being the duo that survives from yellow. It could be anybody and Caleb. Like, I'm really at that point where, like, I don't know what's going to happen on that tribe. I'm just so confident in my Caleb pick as one of, like, the last two members of yellow. But I'll put Hannah here. I think Hannah's just I've said it a lot. I think Hannah's just a fun casting choice. I don't think she gives a shit at all. And I think that's a very nice – that's welcome on this show. I feel like too many people now, they go out there and they're too worried about their personality, how they're getting along with people, like – how they're going to be perceived. I do not think Hannah cares at all. And that is a breath of fresh air that will get you at least 8th place in my bootlist game.
In my mind.
In my mind. Alexa, who's your
eight? I like it. I have Drew now at number 8. So kind of like in the exact same reasoning that you did, Peridium. So I like him. He was someone who... we were talking about like how they interact with people in their videos. His interaction with Mike Bloom in the videos that I've watched is very like familial. It's very colorful. He's very comfortable. And I really liked that. So I think he could do well. Maybe his narrative is they always do that thing where they're like, this person's going to win and we have to get rid of them way too early. Maybe he could be that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you guys have at 7, by the way?
I have Bruce.
Oh, you have Bruce. Okay.
You're going Sean. I'm going Bruce. So you have Sean significantly higher than us.
Yeah. I kind of feel like it's kind of like the Tika 3. They survive a rough pre-merge, but then they go further. And I was like, you know, I started just feeling good about Sean after listening to him a little bit more. Initially, I was going to have him pre-merge, but then I just started giving him, I don't know, some chops for absolutely no reason. I just felt good about him. He seemed like a smart guy. So.
I don't have Bruce. I lied. Bruce is not my next. I have Kelly next.
Wow.
That's what Kelly. I meant. I have Dayton Kelly.
Switcheroo.
I have Kelly at 7. I was
her first reference.
Someone. Yeah, I have Kelly at 7. I know Alexa's so high on Kelly. Critical Care Nurse from New York, New York, 29. Like, this is everything Alexa's ever, like, wanted in a Survivor castaway. I think Kelly could do really well on that starting tribe because I think she has definitely a big personality. I did watch one of her videos. Mm-hmm. She does have a big personality, but I think she has like a not so big of a personality that she can't turn it off. And I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
And so I really do like Kelly's prospects on this starting tribe. I think there's a couple more obvious targets than her on this tribe, but 4 of my top 7 are from the blue tribe. That's how much confidence like I have in that tribe being the cohesive unit as the season goes along. And then spoiler versus 6. Because I already said him once. I have Bruce at 6. Bruce, I'm sorry, man. You didn't convince me enough that you're going to win this game. You know, I love you. You didn't convince me.
Late Jerry Bruce. Poor guy.
Late Jerry Bruce. Hey,
you know what? He's fine. Guy.
That's a
He's
huge
He's doing
win.
Fine.
Yeah, that means he made it. That means he survived the piece of wood on day 1. So I'm very happy for him.
It's going to be on Ghost Island season 55.
It is. Bruce is going to go walking out to his journey and they're going to be like, this is the piece of wood you hit your head against. Who do you have at 7, Alexa?
I have Brandon. I think Brandon's going to do really well. Like, I think Brandon could also totally win. He's using a lot of analogies already, which I'm not into, but he is clearly very well educated on Survivor. He is clearly a huge fan. I think he's someone that a lot of fans are going to find extremely relatable, which is always a good narrator, a good person to cheer for. I don't know if he wins in my boot list, though.
Who do you have at six? Peridium.
I picked Keturah. And same. I like her. I felt good about everything she gave me. I used nothing but nice adjectives to describe her with the notes that I took. And I felt like, you know what? She's somebody who might become likable and a threat, but maybe not cutthroat enough. She'll come short. Sixth place, she's maybe making the finale, or if they're doing a five-person finale, she's right in that sweet spot. Social threat, but maybe just fall short of the finish line. She seems somebody who's honest, but a little bit smarter than that, not just pure loyal, but wants mm-hmm. people on her side that are like illogically loyal, I think she said. Mm-hmm. She's a casual, but that doesn't matter. It's the new era. There's only been four seasons of Survivor, so who cares? But yeah, I have Keturah in six.
Filthy casual.
Yeah, I love Keturah. I think Keturah is a really good casting choice. I think she's different than what they've had in recent years. She does not, like, I know 35 isn't old, but she doesn't look 35. Like, when I look at her there, like, I feel like she's younger. And I think that will work in her favor, because then, like, with what her job is, she's going to come across, I think, a lot more mature than maybe how she looks, which I think is good. I don't think you want to go the opposite way with that, where you like look older and then you come across as kind of like annoying and like, you know, just like not like, well, whatever, like world savvy, whatever you want to call it. so I do
it.
Like,
that's what it's called.
Yeah. Whatever the word is. I can't think of words. I'm fresh out of words today, but I'm going to kill the Yellow Tribe at my number five. And I'm going to put
Caleb. With a sword through the heart.
Yeah, top four. I don't have anybody from Yellow. I think ultimately what's going to happen to the Yellow Tribe is they're going to go the way of Shannon Ricard, where they're going to get decimated early. We're going to like the two who survive it. They're going to go deep, but they're not going to go deep enough, because they're going to have just like too much of a story that people aren't going to let it happen. So I got Caleb at five. Just missing out, because I got to have somebody at three who can't get votes, right? Like, I can't have my third place person be unrealistic. So yeah, I got Caleb at five, and just misses out on getting to make fire and impress everyone.
Wow, that was your guy.
That was my guy. That's all right. I mean, I have to pick. I mean, I'm down to D, Austin, who loves everything I love, and then Jake, who has the greatest accent I've ever heard, and Keturah, who I've said nothing but nice things about. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. We have some similarities, Phil. I'll go with number five. I have Austin at five. We all had Austin extremely
top
high.
Top five.
Yeah.
Top five, baby.
Top five, baby. So Austin, you're getting fifth place, or you're getting somewhere in the top five. So good for you. I really like him. I think he has the full package, but he seems like that. He seems very aware of himself, but in a like subtle way. He seems to have a very like, I don't want to say a gregarious personality, but I don't know him, but reading his interviews and watching his interviews, like, I want to, and I feel like that's a very good sign for someone who would hopefully do well on Survivor. So I guess he's in the position of, he's actually going to win, and this is only time for him to not.
Also, like, I don't follow, like, I don't go on like social media all that often. And like, whatever the algorithm is now on X, like, that just makes people show up. It must be like the one time I liked something. But one of the few survivors who still shows up in my feed is like his ultimate hype man, and that's Owen. So maybe I've just been brainwashed thinking that Austin's like the greatest of all time, because
Owen's
tweets
here for it.
And all of his tweets show up in my stuff. So
love Owen. Owen's great.
Yeah. Owen's here.
I love
for
Owen.
It.
I must love Austin. Austin loves everything I love. I got to put him higher than five. Where do you got? Where you got a five, Peridian?
At five, I have Drew, which we've talked about a bunch. Again, I was just sort of going for, like, I'm going to pick off a red, a blue, and a yellow, and have my top three be a red, blue, and yellow. So between Drew and Austin, who are my top two red, I think Austin's got a higher ceiling. So I stuck Drew in at five. Yeah. We've already talked about it a bunch, though, but yeah. He's my number five.
I love it. I do love it. Who wants to go first with their fire-making loser? Because obviously we're all thinking about how people are going to lose fire at this point, and we haven't just been throwing shit at the wall. So who do you have as your fire-making loser?
So for me, I have two yellows left versus my one blue and my one red. So I decided to just be fair and put a yellow as a fire-making loser, which is weird because yellow also tanked at the beginning of the season, but now they are however 50% of this cast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I picked the super fan. I put Brandon.
All right.
Brandon's losing fire.
That is devastating, I think.
It's devastating. I don't think he probably deserved it. He probably would have had Sabaya's vote to keep him in the game, but it just didn't work out that way. I don't know who he loses to, but he lost. He got fourth
but
place.
But he loses.
He came just this close.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Right
for
there.
For someone who's been applying for Survivor since he was 11 years old, that's
didn't
pretty devastating.
Think to go make.
He's the Carson Garrett.
He's never used, never made fire in his life.
I mean, yeah. Carson 3D printed everything, but could not make fire fast.
Can't 3D print fire yet.
We are. Alexa, who you got it for?
I think Bruce is going to lose fire. Let's just put Ouch. This poor guy to rest. Yeah. I actually don't. I just didn't want to put him as winning, but I genuinely think that he is going to make it very far. I really, really think he could. I just don't want to be like that fan. So why not ruin his life and make him a final fire loser?
You almost said fire making challenge.
A fire making loser.
Said fire. And you haven't said Jake yet, so you got to save that for when you say Jake's name. I have Keturah losing fire.
Sad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have her going there, not getting her chance to plead in front of the jury. I think she'd be like one of those. He's like, I could have won if I would have made it, but she didn't make it. Didn't get it done at Fire Keturah.
Absolutely.
So likable fire making loser.
Yeah.
Gets you every time.
Welcome. Yep. Go hang out with Kara K and sell really nice
Real
houses.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, exactly. There's worse places to be than the final four fire making loser in today's day and age of Survivor. So
yeah.
Peridium, take us through your top three and how this is going to shake out with what you got. You got all the colors of the rainbow here. What are you looking at?
Yeah, I like doing that. And it seems like it's happened a handful of times lately where you've got like one of each. So, in third place, and I don't know how, I don't think it makes any sense. You know, I'm going to go, well, I think it does make sense. I just don't know how this final three absolutely materializes whatsoever. I went with Sabaya. From yellow. So both Brandon and Sabaya go out. Sabaya is maybe a zero vote finalist. Maybe he gets a couple votes. Who knows? Probably zero votes at the way that final tribal councils go. It's pretty much like 7-1-0. So she's the zero of that 7-1-0 because we can't do any other vote iteration at this point.
Yep.
So think of the three. She's fulfilling what happens if Sue Hawk, the truck driver, makes it to the final tribal council. Mm-hmm. Probably is a shutout, gets zero votes. She's the truck driver 45 seasons later, makes it to the final tribal council, and she gets zero votes.
It's actually beautiful.
I love it. And then what shakes down between your final two? We'll let you kill this boot list. I said 1:15. I was pretty close. Let's
be real
here.
Right on.
How does it shake out between Kelly and Austin?
Yeah, so you have Kelly in your final two, and Alexa has her in the final three because Kelly just can't help it. What are you loving so much about Kelly? Because I feel like I didn't have much to say about her.
First, she is casual, but seems to have a knack for understanding the show. So she's not like super heady, caught up with all the 40 seasons plus and has been focusing on this so much. She's a nurse, which I think goes pretty far. Again, look at the greatest player to ever win the game is Ceree, most likely. She was also a nurse. I think that works out really well. She's chatty. She's not, I think you need to be more extroverted than introverted usually on Survivor. Same goes for Big Brother. She seems more extroverted. She's very, very talkative in the interviews I was listening to. She compared herself to Kelly Wentworth and Parvati. And I feel like obviously everyone's going to say certainly Parvati, and Kelly Wentworth has been like everywhere. Her name is in like half the people's mouths, but I actually felt like I got more out of that comparison than anyone else that I've seen in a while. And my only fear with Kelly is that she's with this Kelly, 45's Kelly, is that she's going to somehow get clipped in like the pre-merge for no random reason. Like what happened in Island of the Idols or something, where it's just like a potential woman who could have gone far, just all of a sudden has like bizarre circumstances, blow up her game, and all of a sudden she's out early. Otherwise, though, I was just like, you know what? I don't really know how she's going to get here and with this group of people, how it makes sense in my head. But I think if she's in that final three, she can win that final three. And Austin is a good guy. I like him a lot. I almost wanted to put him there, but I don't know. He's got like a little bit of like he mentioned Wu, and I'm like, he seems like a really nice guy. I just worry that maybe he's like not cutthroat enough to fight to get those votes as hard as he wants to be. So I gave him like, he gets the one vote and then Kelly gets the seven. I could see Austin being likable enough though to where it flips and he is the winner. But I've been down that road before. I feel like he fits the archetype that I like to see try to win the show, but he doesn't usually win. So I'm just like, he's not going to win.
Mm-hmm. So you got Austin 2, Kelly 1.
Yeah.
I like it. So my final three is Austin, it is D, and it is Jake. And I am going to say that the man who is being hyped up by maybe the best zero vote finalist ever, at least in recent memory, is about to himself find himself with zero votes. And I am putting Austin in third place. Learned too much from Wu. I am saying that Jake, because he's so obsessed with Final Tribal, will get second place, and that people just won't be able to like not give him at least one or two votes because of his wonderful accent. So he's getting second. And then I'm just going to live out this dream, and I'm going to say D is going to win the game. This is the most mindless I've been since I picked Michelle. So maybe this will work out for D the same way it worked for Michelle. Michelle was literally from my part, was a bartender like in the area that I grew up. Like that was it. Like, cool, done. She's my winner pick. Wow. And then she was good. So then I just kept going with it. And that's kind of what I'm doing here with D. I'm like, D, you got to bring some life into this podcast. You got to bring some life into South Florida. You got to get this going with the Survivor community. It's all on you, all the pressure in the world. And you just have to like, just beat Jake and Austin.
Do you think D is mentally prepared for the onslaught of attention that you're going to give her?
No, I don't think really. When I look at like the five that I, or the six really, because Bruce is one too, the six people that I've latched onto, I feel like I'm going to be so obnoxious about all six of them until they go to the end.
That's
like
a lot of people.
It's a lot. It's a third of the cast, which is a lot for me.
Normally I hone in,
but like really, like every part of me wanted to pick Caleb or Bruce or Jake or Austin to win this game or Katara. And I was like, no, I just have to go with D because I just need to put this into the atmosphere so that like South Florida becomes exciting. So here we are. Nightlife, baby. All right. What do you got, Alexa? How are you closing this out?
Okay. So Hannah gets zero votes. I think I have Hannah going farther than pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
I liked her a lot. However, I imagine why that like she would not gel. She is a yellow tribe person, so it could be one of those things where she just makes it along, and there's kind of just like this assumed. I feel like half the time the zero vote finalist knows they're a zero vote finalist too, so there could be that. And then Kelly gets the one vote. I feel like I have to tone down my thirst levels with Kelly, so I can't have her win. However, similar to Euperidium, I think she could do really well. She has like her interviews have she seems very relatable. And like what you said about extroverts versus introverts in Survivor, there's also a lot to be said about someone who's just could be your friend and could be friends with pretty much anybody. However, Jake, the BS artist, charms everybody with his beautiful Boston accent.
And he wins the damn
and
thing.
And closes it out. Maybe he's talking about Final Tribal a lot. I think like if he actually is a villain, I think it would be amazing for a villain to win. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really good for Survivor. So I'm putting all my eggs in the villain basket.
Yeah. I think Jake winning would be really fun.
Yeah.
It'd be so fun.
Cause I do think like from what you can say about all four of the people who have won the New School of Survivor, you can't call any of them a villain. Like none of them were on their season. Which is like, I don't remember the last time we did see a villain.
Who is
win.
A villain?
I mean, Tony probably in Winners at War, but Tony was so funny.
He wasn't that villainous, though, I don't think.
No.
I thought Tony was a villain in
He wasn't really painted as a villain. Yeah, the first season, for sure, he had a lot of scenes where he was, like, antagonistic and a troublemaker. And, like, for Survivor, he was definitely giving villain vibes. But, I mean, the only other person I'd say was shaded as a villain might be Sarah, funny enough.
In
like,
the newer era,
the Cops Are Us. Because Ben, no, was not edited as a villain. Wendell, no. Mm-hmm. Nick, no. Chris, who?
Yeah, Chris definitely.
Tommy, not a villain, not a hero.
Yeah, there, Tommy wasn't any of them.
There are like three people who I think could be villains. Like Jake, Caleb, and Hannah, I think could all be villains. And that's more than I think I've ever said on a New Era season.
And
I
Emily. If Emily goes
Emily,
far in this
oh my
game,
God, Emily
is going to be such a villain.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I think would be so good for the show. And I just think it'd be great. So everyone be nice to these people. Don't ruin it for all of us.
But yeah. Don't let them be mean to each other. That is what.
Yeah. I that's want their job. Life.
Like I want them to hate each other on my TV. Because after watching Panama, it reminded me, like, it was so nice to watch Survivor when people did not care what the internet and stuff was going to say about them. It was just like, I'm going to be me. That means I don't win money because I piss everybody off. Too bad. And I freaking loved it. I love every second of it. So, yeah, I'm all about it. That's it. That's what we got. Pretium has to watch Big Brother. Pretium, what are you doing, though? It's always nice to have you on. And now that you're into Survivor mode, kind of. We have a week. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Anything in between now and the show starting or anything going on?
I mean, I've got Survivor and Big Brother at the same time. I'm posting videos for both of them because Big Brother's running until mid-November. I will be posting for the Big Brother fans. I'll be talking about it every single week for the Survivor fans. Nothing's changing. Same thing as every year. I've been doing this for 6 years now. New video every Wednesday before the episode goes up. I'll be talking about Star 45 a few times, talking about who I think is going to win. I'm probably going to break down the premiere episode. We're going to get 90-minute episodes. So I'm excited for that. Hopefully they do a lot with that extra 30 minutes. That's it. Same as always. You can expect it. You can expect a new video showing up if you follow me on YouTube every Wednesday afternoon.
Love it.
Awesome. Love
it. There you go.
Steph.
And Alexa, what's kind of our next thing?
We are rounding out our preseason content Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern with one of our favorite guests. Vaughn is going to be joining us for a prop bet game. He will actually be joining Phil, and I will likely not be there, and Robert might be there. So it's definitely Phil and Vaughn and TBD third guest. Which also reminds me, you can participate in this boot list game as well. If you think you have what it takes to guess this correctly, make sure you submit one. It is in the link in our bio. We are also going to be tweeting, Xing, and Instagramming all of these links. So please participate. It's completely free to do so, and you could win a buff if you do better than everybody else. So make sure you submit that before the beginning of the premiere next Wednesday.
Yeah, and if you're trying to play the prop bet game and you've played it before and you know the rules and you don't need to listen Monday night to submit, go ahead. The link is in the description of this video because we know we're not given much time. So if you're interested in playing the prop bet game, go ahead and click that. You can do that and get your answers in ahead of time. If you're not familiar with it, listen Monday night, 8 o'clock with Vaughn. Become patron. Patreon.com/Survivor Specialist. Fun things, you know, fun. This is the fun time of the year to be a patron. And that's
tune in at 9:40.
Jesus.
4 hour. Oof, we're getting too old for this.
Is it only an hour and a half premiere? It's not a
2 hour
premiere.
Oh, it might be a 2 hour premiere. Actually have no idea. So tune in anytime between 9:40 and 10:15 p.m. on Wednesday and someone will be live.
Yeah.
Have a great night. Thank you so much, Pretium, for joining us as always.
Of course. Thank you.
Great to hear from you. See y'all later.
Bye. What is the